A hero is one who heals their own wounds and then shows others how to do the same.
Unconventional Life, the show where I interview successful entrepreneurs, artists, creatives, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. We will explore how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck. I'm your host, Joel Schroeder.
Are you ready to take every area of your life to the next level? Join us this May 25th through 29th for a 5-day transformational life and business accelerator. Ranked by Inc. magazine as the number one event for entrepreneurs to attend, we are bringing together an intimate group of 30 from countries all around the world. We'll be staying in a 22-bedroom estate just outside of Marrakesh, overlooking the Atlas Mountains. If you find yourself in a transition and you're looking for that breakthrough clarity, head over to unconventionallifeshow.com/Morocco to apply and get all the details. Unconventional Life, welcome. This is your host, Joel Schroeder, tuning in today from the mountains of Steamboat Springs, Colorado. Today's guest is joining us from New York City, Diego Perez in the house. Diego, are you ready to take us down the path less traveled?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, super excited to share today's guest with all of you Unconventional Lifers. I actually had the pleasure of finding him on Instagram. And for those of you that don't know Diego, he is the writer and speaker behind the pen name Young Pueblo. And the pen name Young Pueblo means young people and really serves to remind you of your Ecuadorian roots, experiences in activism, and that the collective of humanity is in the midst of an important growth. And a lot of your poetry, your speaking, I mean, it's like, as I was reading it, so heartfelt, and not only heartfelt, but just so inspirational. I mean, you've, hundreds of thousands of Instagram followers, you reach, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people each month through your writing. And beyond all of that, your favorite word, liberation, really taking on this meaning since you started doing meditations, vipassanas, and really aiming to use your work to support the healing of the individual, which like is such a timely, mission, especially where we are in the world right now and realizing, when we release our personal burdens, we get to really contribute to more of this global peace and such the themes of the unconventional life in so many different ways, but I know you've, spoken all over the US last year, you're doing a lot of international speaking this year, you've got a book out, all these great things, but excited to dive into all the philosophies and influencer life, social media life, writing life, and all of that. So welcome to the show, Diego, and fill in any gaps that I might have left out and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
Thank you so much, Jules. I mean, you really covered it. I really try to sort of hunker down in my, meditative life. Like I meditate every day, and that's really just opened up so many doors for me internally and just kind of showed me what I'm supposed to be doing with this life. But through my practice of Vipassana meditation, it has just, taken me into some serious deep healing on the personal level. And it's really just shown me, how united and how we're really just this giant human collective. And we're doing a lot of healing without even really realizing, I think a lot of people think about it as on the individual level, but a lot of what the work that we're doing now, that there are so many beautiful techniques out there that people are using to really improve their lives. But this stuff is going to be fundamental, decades down the line to really helping our whole world become a much more peaceful place. So it's exciting to, be a little piece of that because there's so many people adding to just, supporting the individual healing and, let's see where it goes. I think it's going to be a beautiful road.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think you're so onto something, especially with the writing and the poetry that you're doing. We are in such a time of expansion. I think back to even the essence of unconventional life, it's like moving from this conventional inherited wisdom to this period of self-expression and paving your own way. And inside of that, amazing expansion and growth, there's turbulence. A lot of stuff gets brought up. And that healing of how do we step into this and, be with the different parts of ourself and even the conversation where we were talking about this earlier, but a lot of us feeling like lone wolves sometimes and having these visions of these ideas, yet our external environments don't reflect that support always. And so what do you think's been happening like in the world in your eyes and especially the theme of healing and for those that are tuning in that might be in a bit of a turbulent path or just kind of in this like push-pull mentality any words or wisdom to offer to people in that place?
Yeah, I think there's been a big shift, especially, you know, I mean, I started writing about 2014, 2015. And I think in that time period, a lot of people were really excited and started actually using all these different techniques, you know, different forms of meditation, you know, really taking therapy seriously or different, you know, like body healing modalities. And I think there was like a big obsession about bliss and about like always being happy. And that was like, you know, it was to the point where, you know, I would wake up in like 2015 and I would see, you know, different memes in the morning, and people would put these memes up where, you know, it'd be like a human body that was just like glowing, and underneath it would say, "This is how I wake up every morning." And I'm just like, no way, you know, like no way. Like if you're actually doing the work to like literally release all these heavy patterns that have been controlling your behavior for decades, then there are going to be moments of mental turbulence, like serious mental tension. Yeah. Where, you know, things are literally coming up for release because it's difficult to see yourself with complete honesty. And then there's a whole other difficulty added when you actually have a technique that can get you into the subconscious to release all this, you know, heavy burdens that are clouding your mind. So I think owning and just really honoring the fact that there are moments of difficulty in the healing process, and that there are ups and downs, and that a lot of times these moments of difficulty, it doesn't mean that you're doing it wrong. It actually is a sign that you've gone really deep and you're getting something big out, and you just need to hold tight, you know, like make sure that you're practicing correctly, make sure that you're sort of tuning into your community for the support that you need. But in time, you know, these things pass, and it's interesting because there are so many different techniques out there. But really, I think something that ties a lot of them together is that is the process of observation and release. You know, you're observing yourself to release what's inside you. And it's really, you know, these days we're shifting from just understanding self-love to really figuring out how to actually let go.
Yeah, it's such a big, you know, transition, especially the process of letting go. And, you know, for those of you that have not, you know, been familiar with, you know, your name, Young Pueblo, it's Young_Pueblo on Instagram. And literally looking at one of your, you know, posts right now, and what I love about your page, you know, you're just around 300,000 followers, is that it's just so simple. And I think that's such, you know, it seems like an essence of who you are. It's just like a white box with black text and it's your writing. And you know, it's just like, and that's the page. And it's so simple. Yeah. And I look at this one, it's like, remind the proper balance between patience and determination can accomplish great goals. It's just like, you know, such simple truth. And I think speaks to, you know, what you're sharing about. But I mean, when you go back to 2015, 2016, I like that you're, you know, acknowledging that, especially when you first started your writing, is that so often we do hear about, you know, it's bliss and it should look like this. And then we have these feelings inside of us that come up, and even myself, you know, frequently, and it doesn't, go in line, you know, with what we think we should be feeling or how things should come, and it can feel very personal. And so what was happening in your life then, and, you know, to build such a large following and to really, you know, expand your audience so much in just a few short years, like give us the backstory a little bit about what was happening in your world. I imagine like when you first started, you probably wouldn't have imagined you'd be here at this point, you know, doing all these international speaking tours and things like that. But yeah, take us through the trajectory and what was happening that led to the onset of this.
That's so interesting. Thinking back to like 2015, especially, I think that was like a really precarious time in my life, because not only was I really starting to take meditation seriously, I think that was the year when I sort of put my foot down, or was even starting to put my foot down, to really meditate every day, you know, like no matter what, like no matter what happens in my life, like I'm going to meditate twice a day. And when I put my foot down in that side, like on my internal side, all this stuff started coming up. Like, you know, I had to start dealing with all these issues that were just like so bogged down inside me that I've essentially been spending my whole life avoiding. So when you take that and juxtapose it with me sort of feeling, you know, pretty set that I have to write, you know, like I have to write. And because when I started meditating, you know, I'm no meditation teacher or anything like that, but what I wanted to do was vocalize how healing was actually possible, and that this was also very directly connected to supporting society. You know, it's like something you can do, you know, besides being like an active member of society, there's the internal side that you know, when you heal yourself and when you cultivate your personal happiness, you're going to be a much less harmful person to the people around you. And when I started seeing that in myself, I was like, I have to write about these things. It was just like a really sort of quiet, solitary time where I spent a lot of time by myself, really thinking about, you know, how am I going to do this? Like, what's the real voice that I want to make? You know, like literally figuring out my writing style and just to be honest, just like feeling a real lack of support. I think a lot of my sort of, you know, close friends were kind of shocked that this was the path that I was taking and that I wasn't just going straight into doing a 9-to-5, because I just knew that this was my chance. You know, I think I was 27 when I started taking this seriously. I'm 31 now. And I knew, I was like, you know, I don't have any kids. I have a great partner who's also supporting me to, like, you know, who's really giving me the time. Because she was like, if you want to do this, this is the time to do it. Because, we don't have any kids. This is the time, basically. Like, you know, if it doesn't work, my plan was like, you know, if all of this fails, I'm going to become a high school teacher. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's obviously like a great profession, but I knew that, okay, like, let me try my best, even though a lot of people were like, you know, even like going as far as like talking behind my back and, you know, people who are like close to me and just like saying mean things or like sometimes not, you know, more so out of worry as opposed to like, you know, they weren't just like hating or anything, but they were just kind of like, you know, he should do something that's a little safer. But I just knew, you know, I have to at least try, because then it's going to be something that I'm just going to regret throughout my whole life. And over time, once I crossed that sort of threshold into 2016, and I did like my first event in New York City, and I think I got up to like 30,000 followers, then I knew that things were really sort of picking up. And then it just, like, you know, it all, I think between 2016 and 2018, everything just like really picked up quickly, and now we're here. But I think in the beginning, I was just like spending a lot of time alone, really feeling like uncomfortable with myself and my like social position, if that makes sense. Yeah. Because I spent a while making like no money, you know, just like feeling uncomfortable, like even in my relationship, because my now wife, like, she was basically supporting me for a while, and I felt terrible about that. You know, I couldn't even properly receive her love because I felt like I wasn't doing my part. And now that's all paid off. And it's, you know, we have a much more like monetarily balanced relationship. But I think in that time, it was really tough.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I appreciate you sharing like the backstory of it too, because I think, you know, so often we don't hear what it takes, you know, to come through with that. And I can only imagine, like, were you in New York City at the time when you first started? Have you been in the city for a while?
Yeah. I've been in the city. I think I got here like 2014, I think 2015, one of the 2 years, but yeah. I knew that. It was funny, 'cause I knew like I had to come to New York 'cause that's where big things happen. I knew I was going to be a writer. I knew I wanted to be a writer, but I just knew that, you know, like the energy here is super special. So, it just felt like to kick all this off.
Yeah, totally. So like, there you are, you're in the city, you know, living with your then girlfriend, having like this knowing inside of you, and you're like, I've got to get this thing out, or it could be something, you know, that you regret looking back. And then, you know, we can all relate to this, many of us at least, with like friends and people like being almost concerned at times, like, what is he doing? Why aren't you getting a job? Why is your girlfriend supporting you? Have you lost your mind? Should we check you in somewhere? Or insert whatever those things are for those that are tuning in. But then to actually just keep going, and not only to keep going, but, you know, like, I imagine, like, take us through even like the first few posts, you know, is it like, okay, I've got these words and I'm just going to like, you know, put them on this thing called Instagram, or even like those things. Cause I think so hard, it's even just like getting started. And for so many people, even many of you that are tuning in right now, living with this thing in you, and so hard, it's like, how do I even take the first step? And then you take the first step, and then you're taking that step for like a week, no results, ghost town, a few weeks, a few months, maybe even like a few years. And you're like, okay, like, how do you know the tipping point, right? Like, when do you give up, or when do you just keep going in that whole mental battle, right? Of just being in it. And so how did you navigate that mental process, and any pieces you could share for our listeners on anything that you found that helped, or in retrospect, looking back on it, that made a difference?
Yeah, I think especially the first year, I mean, I just, you know, I didn't make any money. I just, and there were very little results. Like I was posting and I was figuring things out. And in regards to like, I knew I wanted to use some social media platform because my thought was I want to write something that's just different. It's not, you know, it's not how other books are written. But I also had a strong feeling that if I just wrote the manuscript and I didn't share things online, then if I took a manuscript to a publisher, they would just laugh at me. And they, you know, they wouldn't sign me or anything like that. So I knew that if I win people over, if people actually like the content, you know, the things I'm putting out there, then the institutions will come later. And that was really interesting because that's exactly what happened. You know, it was like once people were like super interested in the things that I was writing, all these people started calling, you know, all these like, you know, agents and publishers and all these things really started steamrolling. And the interesting thing was that I saw other writers having success, you know, people who were writing about, you know, really different topics. Like I remember I was really inspired by Lang Liev and R.M. Drake and Rupi Kaur, and they were some of the first Instagram writers, Nayara Wahid, you know, people who are writing such beautiful poetry. And I loved the minimalism, and I was so inspired by it because that's just like kind of naturally how I write. You know, I especially if it's like artistically, it comes out in a minimalistic style. And I felt that if I, you know, took that inspiration from them and saw, you know, the way they would put their words in an image and then just make it, you know, my own, because I felt that my angle was a bit different because I wasn't necessarily writing about romance or breakups or about cultural things. I was more so writing about psychology and philosophy and, you know, meditative wisdom, and trying to put that in sort of that similar framework. And that's sort of what made it all really start growing. It's like the moment I started putting the main ideas or pieces of poetry in images, it just made it so easy, you know, to like literally have that shareable content that people could quickly, you know, share on their pages, or now people share on their stories. That's what made it all sort of grow really rapidly. And I think, you know, seeing that other people had success in it, I think that sort of kept that fire lit in me. So I think it would have been much more difficult. Like I have, you know, so much admiration, especially for like R.M. Drake, cause I think he might've been one of the first real big successes from Instagram, sort of shifting from being a successful writer on social media and then like having his books in bookstores like all over the world. Yes. And seeing that, you know, like going to Barnes, cause like I love reading, I love books. So I'm always at bookstores. And seeing their books in bookstores, I was like, man, I was like, I just got to keep going. You know, if I keep going, this really might work. And there definitely were moments where I was like, okay, like, you know, I'm going to keep trying this for like another year or, you know, another 6 months. And there were just moments where like, I felt like, you know, I should get more serious about my backup plan, but I always kept pushing it, you know, I always kept pushing it for a little longer. And then eventually things really came together. And then the moment when I decided to self-publish Inward. So like the version of Inward that's available now is a version that my publisher and I worked on together. That's about like 20% different from the original self-published version. But when I self-published it, it was amazing. You know, people were buying it off of Amazon and off of Book Depository, and that alone was successful. So it's interesting because even if you want to sell books on your own through self-publishing, like you can totally be successful even without a publisher these days. And I ended up actually picking a publisher because you know, you make a little bit less, but your book is much more widely available.
Yeah, totally. So good. I want to zoom out for a little bit, you know, in time. And I know also now too, we were even talking about like once, you know, you have, now here you are having this following, you know, working with this publisher, and then how to now balance like, you know, the art and the craft of what comes through, which, you know, is like, so like you said, based in these meditative traditions and where the inspiration from your works come, and then also how to now be this public persona. And now you're, you know, you're speaking and then holding the, you know, the duality, you know, of those two things. And yet at the same time, like also honoring your traditions of where you've come from, you know, and even your Ecuadorian roots and experiences with activism. And so if we were to like zoom out like bird's eye view for a moment and fly on the wall and just see like some of the pieces of who you were, you know, growing up, or just some of the shapes and colors of, you know, who made you the man that you are today, what would we have seen along the way? Like, what was some of like the backstory? Did you, you know, go to school? Did you go to college? What was it like growing up? And just give us like a little, you know, few texture glimmers, if you will.
Definitely. I think I have a few key pieces. I mean, one was like, so I grew up in Boston, Massachusetts, but I was born in Guayaquil, Ecuador. So I was born in Ecuador, and I came here with my family when I was about 4 years old. So I came here very, very young. I think the year was 1992. And I grew up in a very Ecuadorian way. So like, you know, in my home, we only spoke Spanish and with my parents, and but also at the same time, very American. And, you know, there's no way to really help that. Like once you're in the United States, you're in here. and you get consumed by the culture. And you know, I absolutely appreciated that because it was, you know, it's different from everywhere in the world. But we always maintained a sense of profound connection with Ecuador, and like the vast majority of our family is there. And that always really stayed with me. And the word Pueblo specifically, you know, is in regards to sort of like the impoverished masses of people. And to me, I really felt connected to that word because it reminds me not only of home, like you mentioned before, but it also reminds me of the whole world. Because in a lot of ways, you know, even though the world, I think there's still dramatic sort of material wealth imbalance, but at the same time, there is still like a big sort of, what's a good way to put it, but like that internal imbalance. Like a lot of people are still, whether they have their material needs met or not, people are really struggling mentally, and they're experiencing a lot of misery. You know, there's the, people sort of get trapped in that system of like, you know, trying to buy their way to happiness, or trying to have other, you know, having their happiness be dependent on the actions of other individuals. And though there is a lot of happiness that we can feel amongst community and amongst in our relationships, ultimately the greatest happiness that you can feel is something that has to be cultivated within you. And to me, it's like, you know, we're really, really, really growing up. And that really hit home through my time when I was a young activist back, because I started delving into the world of organizing and activism back in when I was 15 years old in Boston. And there was like there's a really vibrant community there. A lot of nonprofits who are giving a lot of young people serious power to, you know, design their own campaigns and literally learn how to organize so that they can accomplish the goals that they need. And this is like, no, you know, organizing in the sense of like bringing people together, picking a campaign that you're actually going to work on. Like, let's say, like, I mean, one big one back in the day was in this one high school, John D. O'Brien, there were a lot of teachers who, you know, wanted their students to write their papers on computers, you know, and have it printed on computer paper and all that. And that was all well and good, but a lot of people couldn't afford computers. So there was this like weird dynamic where like, yeah, technology was advancing, but people literally didn't have the means to get their homework properly done. So what we did was organize in that school and basically, you know, force the principal to like, if you want this from us, then you need to provide a computer lab that students have use, you know, can use during and after school hours. So I think it was open to like we got them to open it to like 5 or 6 p.m. and they did it for us. You know, they filled it with computers and all that, and people were actually able to go in there, use it, and get their work done. And this was something special because that just would not have happened if the young people hadn't organized themselves. And, you know, and this wasn't like adults telling us what to do. This was like literally young people, like, you know, other 15, 16, 17 year olds organizing other 15, 16, 17 year olds and sort of figuring out what we need to do and getting it done. And yeah, we did that in tons of schools around the city. And it was a very, very powerful time. So I got to really see how much power we can really have when we sort of join together. But after, you know, I was done when I was about 18 years old, I saw that and I started shifting into college, I saw that, you know, there was a lot of power in us, but I still felt like, you know, in my own being, I still felt that misery. And it wasn't until I started meditating when I was about 24 that connection was really made, where I saw that, you know, you can cultivate that sort of external liberation, but you also need to, at the same time, cultivate the internal liberation so that you can actually come out of misery, so that you can actually be happy and have mental clarity and really sort of take your minds, you know, on a real evolutionary path, you know, and make yourself as free as possible. But yeah, that all these things came together and really showed me that the place where I can most benefit people, or the way I can really support people, is to try to, you know, really delve into psychology and support people in, you know, whatever it is that they want to do. Because a lot of people may not necessarily be ready to meditate, but there's a lot of things out there. So I really try to encourage people to find some sort of technique, some tool that can help them, you know, start cultivating that happiness. Because if you're happy, you're going to be, not only is your life going to be better, but you're going to support the happiness of the people around you. And that's really important to an actual peaceful world.
Absolutely. I love all that. And, you know, I'm curious, you know, about the internal, you know, and external process, paraphrasing a little bit, but is there a process, you know, that you can share with our listeners that, you know, for those that want to kind of play with some of these concepts, that's pretty simple, either one that you currently use or one that you've used along the way to really aid in the integration?
So do you mean like a process in terms of like writing or in terms of healing?
In terms of healing, yeah.
Oh, so I mean, I think, well, one of the two things that you can do no matter what in the beginning is have the courage to try new things. Like literally it's courage and honesty. Like all serious transformations require courage and honesty. And if you can be like profoundly honest with yourself about, you know, what's happened in your personal emotional history, like what are you carrying inside you and what am I lying to myself about? You know, what am I avoiding and what could I be doing better that I'm sort of making excuses about? And this doesn't mean that you have to change your entire life in one day. No, not at all. I would say that it's much better to focus on a few changes at once. And those things are sort of the beginning. And that's how I started off, was like, really, I remember when I started making these big changes in my personal life, I remember one of the big lies that I was holding is always like pushing away how unhealthy I was and never really like owning it and being like, okay, like I have to do something about this. Mm-hmm. And when I started being honest about that, like so many things started changing and my life really started improving. And I think it got me ready to start meditating about a year later. I think that's a big thing. But like, other than that, I think it really, you know, we can intellectualize and sort of like think about the things that we have experienced in the past, but it really helps to have a technique. Like, you know, there are so many different types of meditations, but a lot of them have in common this quality of, you know, calming the mind and concentrating the mind. And when that happens, you know, when you cultivate a little bit of that calmness and concentration, that's when the mind sort of relaxes enough to start releasing the things that are bundled up inside of it. So I really encourage people to, you know, find something out there, because we live in a special time. And, you know, I would say that really, like, in terms of like global world history, we have so many different techniques available that are now like, you know, you can live in any city and you can type into Google, like, what can I do for anxiety? And you're going to get like so many therapists, so many different techniques that you can try, so many different forms of meditation, different, like, you know, even like energy healing. There's tons of things out there. So it's a matter of like what really fits you and meets you where you're at.
Yeah, absolutely. So, so good. Are you ready to take every area of your life to the next level? Join us this May 25th through 29th for a 5-day transformational life and business accelerator. Ranked by Inc. magazine as the number one event for entrepreneurs to attend, we are bringing together an intimate group of 30 from countries all around the world. We'll be staying in a 22-bedroom estate just outside of Marrakesh, overlooking the Atlas Mountains. If you find yourself in a transition and you're looking for that breakthrough clarity, head over to unconventionallifeshow.com/Morocco to apply and get all the details. I've been like looking at some of your poetry and words as you've been sharing a little bit. And I'm curious if there is a poem or some piece of writing, not to put you on the spot, that would be pretty brief, that feels like alive to share, or yeah, some snippet that you want to share with the audience.
Yeah, I think one of the simpler ones, this one I wrote a while back, but a really important one is, a hero is one who heals their own wounds and then shows others how to do the same. Mm. And that's really important because, you know, it does take sort of that strong individual who is ready to, you know, live outside of what's common to try the new thing first. And when they see the results, you know, it's a lot easier for other people to walk that path. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you need to be a teacher or anything, but to just, you know, support other people and encouraging them, or even just like if they ask you, let them know, you know, and people are like, you know, how are you happier? Like what's happened? And just letting them know, like, you know, I've been doing this and that, and it's helping me a ton. But that's how things spread. And I feel like when you are actually supporting someone else's happiness, you are a real hero.
Yeah. So good. Young Pueblo, everyone, we're going to go into the rapid fire round in just a moment, which will be a series of rapid fire questions coming at you. But before we go there, I want to just talk about the duality between your, you know, private life, your, you know, social life, the public life. And I think so many listeners can relate to this. It's the path of, you know, revealing even the work that you just shared, but it's, you know, knowing when to share your process and then when to reserve that for your private life and when to be out there. And so how do you balance the dynamics of that in your life, and any advice you can give for, you know, our listeners, especially those that are stepping into more of an influencer role or that are really interested in being more, you know, visible from a personal level in terms of their work in the world?
Yeah, I think this is so important right now, especially as social media has matured a little bit. I mean, whether you're a business owner or influencer or whatever, or whether you're, you know, like a private individual, I think it's so important to understand that, you know, it's obviously fine to share, but which part of your life do you want to share? And I think, you know, for me, I started realizing that of the things that I share, I probably share about like 10 to 15% of my life and what I understand. You know, I think a lot of things, I still keep to myself because I'm still learning them. So to put things out sort of prematurely isn't the best. And also to just have private parts of my life is very soothing and healing, because like if I were to show everything and I were to constantly be online, that would be such a struggle because it is a bit draining. And yeah. I think setting up those boundaries, you know, I see a lot of people who respond to like every single comment, or who, you know, respond to every single DM. And, you know, there was a while where I was trying to do that, but then I realized that this was unhealthy for me. You know, this was just like, I shouldn't be spending so much time on my phone. And I also felt uncomfortable about like hiring that out and like having someone help me with my social media, because that felt a bit, you know, not authentic. And I like how, you know, these things are like coming through, not only through my mind and my hands, but that it's really my energy that's imbued in these words. So I realized, you know, it's totally okay to not respond to every single thing. And even having that sort of boundary be there has helped me be more creative, so that I have more time to produce more things and not feeling guilty about it. But I feel like, especially if you're, you know, using social media as a business outlet, I think it's really important to just figure out which part of your life or which part of your knowledge do you want to share? Because I sort of sharing everything gets a little like confused and it feels like a little too much. But when you sort of focus that and you're like, okay, what are the things that I actually know about, that I actually, you know, can use to support people, and are things that I'm willing to reveal about myself. But having an actual private life is the best. You know, it's fantastic, because it's just like social media can absolutely take over your life, but having that balance is, you know, I think it's really helping me just keep going for the long haul, because I don't want to burn out. You know, I really want to be here to support people.
Yeah, totally. Such good advice there. And definitely been a theme in my own life as well. You know, when I think back like to conventional wisdom, like if I look at my dad, he was, you know, an accountant on Wall Street, New York City guy, and, you know, as you go to work and then you come home. And that's, I think, one thing that the conventional, you know, job offers is like the distinction. But for so many of us that are creating and working in this new capacity, it, that line becomes more of your own choice. And not only that, especially, you know, being known in the world or even like having the podcast or we do these unconventional life events, it's this question I ask myself often of where do I create that distinction and how do I reflect on that? And I think, you know, it's taken me many years to kind of to look at that and be like, wow, yeah, there's actually a balance. You know, this is serving in a certain way. And so I love you offering that. And for those tuning in, you know, asking yourself that own inquiry as well. So
good. I gotta tell you, you remind me of this one moment where I think like about a year and a half ago, I like turned to my wife and I was like, I have no days off. It hit me how much like of my time was being, you know, taken with like trying to write new things, responding to things online, sharing things. And then I was like, whoa, I was like, I literally have no time off. And when that really hit me, I was like, I need to develop like a work-life balance. And that wake up moment was really, really important. Because you need days off.
Totally. Yeah, it's like permanently on vacation and permanently working at the same time. Yeah. So yeah, I love that. Well, let's go to the rapid fire round and then we're going to hear about your book and the giveaway that you've got for one of our amazing listeners. So stay tuned. 5 questions coming at you. Are you ready?
Ready.
All right, question number 1, fill in the blank. If you really knew me, you would know what?
If you really knew me, you would know how much I like ice cream.
Awesome. Next question. What is one weird fact that most people would be surprised to know about you?
I think the weird fact is that I really like, I don't think I could stress how much I really like books. And in a weird way, like some, you know, sometimes I buy more books than I can read. And But I'm recently, you know, getting better about slowing down and really making sure that I'm really taking in every book that I've bought. But that's been like one of my big things is like, I don't know, I just love the written word. And that's one of my favorite things.
Yeah, so good. Next question. If you could turn back the time to your 18-year-old self, look him in the eyes and give him a short piece of advice, what would you say?
Oh my goodness. I would let myself know that the happiness and the productivity that I have is only going to be decreased if I consume more and more alcohol and more weed. I remember like, it's interesting because I sort of like had these, not like issues, like I wasn't really like addicted to things, but I realized that I was consuming things too much and I was really sort of tired of just like, you know, being drunk and being high and all these things. So I stopped, but I remember looking back to when I was about 18 years old and how happy and productive I was. And that was a time when I didn't consume anything really. So I would let myself know, cause that was that moment when I like went to college and started just like, you know, consuming everything left and right. And it was sort of driven by my like internal emptiness and my sadness, but I would like let myself know, you know, there's other ways to console yourself and that you're actually happier when you don't do these things.
Yeah, absolutely. Next question, favorite color?
Favorite color, definitely blue.
Blue, awesome. And last question, what does living the unconventional life mean to you?
Living the unconventional life to me is just like having so much courage to, you know, understanding what the dominant culture is and being unafraid to just walk your own path and just like owning it. You know, I think sometimes people are like a little weary about, because like, you know, I meditate twice a day, and to some people it's like, oh, that's too much. But to me it's like, okay, well, you can think what you think, but I'm just going to do this because I know that's what's right for me. So being, you know, sort of strong enough to just walk your path without, you know, without looking back. And if it's good for you, it's good for you. Keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. So good. Young Pep Lover One, tell us about the giveaway that you've got for one of our listeners.
Oh, yeah. I have a copy of my book that I would love to give away. And I'm hoping that Jules can do me the favor of picking one of the listeners and we'll send you a copy right away.
Yeah. Tell us about the book. And for those that are tuning in, you can head over to unconventionallifeshow.com to enter the giveaway. But tell us all about the book. And it's such a great collection of your work. But yeah, give us all the details.
Yeah. So my first book is called Inward, like internal. So I-N-W-A-R-D. And it's a compilation of my best pieces from, I would say, the past like 3 years. And it's, you know, it's a short book. It's written in a minimalistic format. You're going to find a lot of short poetry, but you're also going to find some quality essays that are about like a page or a page and a half long. And it really stretches from self-love, letting go, and understanding just different aspects of wisdom that can help you in your healing, you know, no matter where you're at. And you can find it on Amazon, on Book Depository. You can find it wherever you can buy books online, like Barnes & Nobles, but you can actually find it in stores at the Amazon bookstore, at Barnes & Nobles, and at, you know, small bookstores. So it's widely available, and it's available around the world.
Yeah, so, so good. We will put the links to that in the show notes on our blog, so unconventionallifeshow.com. You guys can head over there to get the details on that. And then, Diego, for those that want to follow around more in your journey, you know, hear more of the writing and all of those good things, what's the best way to stay in touch?
Yeah, I think I have an account on Facebook and Twitter, which are Young Pueblo Without the underscore, and Young is also spelled Y-U-N-G, P-U-E-B-L-O. But the one that's the, you know, the my most sort of like I focus in mostly on Instagram, and that one is Y-U-N-G underscore P-U-E-B-L-O. And those are fun, especially to the Twitter and the Instagram, because they're a lot more raw. So sometimes I put up pieces that will be in like future books, and it's fun to, you know, just like have that like raw aspect before the editing and all of that.
Yeah, so good. Highly recommend you go check him out on Instagram. I've been loving watching your inspiration like pop up in the feed. And like I said earlier, it's just so simple. And it really goes to show how we don't have to overcomplicate stuff. You know, so often in a world where there's so many infinite opportunities, you know, sometimes bare bones and going simple really makes a difference. So super appreciate you for that and for dropping all this wisdom and knowledge with our Unconventional Life listeners today. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Jules. This was so fun, and I wish everyone the best.
Yeah, thanks so much, everyone. We'll talk to you soon.